So good morning, everybody. Hopefully everybody that's coming into the session will get into the room fairly soon. I have some obligatory announcements I have to make. Welcome back to ICMC. For those of you who aren't expecting to be at ICMC, you're going to have a fun presentation. This morning we're presenting four track sessions. This is the open source track. We'll have our first break at 10:30. Lunch will be at 12:30, like it has been every other day. Breaks and lunch will be served in the exhibit area. Of course, there's no exhibits now. The exhibits are shut, but that's where lunch will be, in the Hemingway room. Wi-Fi is available, and hopefully the Wi-Fi passwords remain correct. You'll find information on page 10 in your conference program. The conference presentation slides and audio are being posted to the conference website as they are received, so you should be able to have access to them immediately. Page 4 of your conference program gives you the login details to gain access to the slides. If you find that you're looking for a particular slide session and it's not there, it should be there before the end of the conference. Failing that, just email one of the organisers. At 12:15, there will be a plenary meeting of the cryptographic module user forum, and it is open to all participants. At 3:15, the conference will end with a plenary panel discussion titled, Can Certification Keep Up with the Pace of Modern Development? This is the topic chosen by the conference participants, and the summary panel is actually pretty interesting, so if you're still around at that time, I'd encourage you to go along and join it. Your feedback is absolutely critically important to the conference organisers. Today we'll be sending every participant an email link. If you can take the few minutes to fill in those details, that information is used by the conference organisers for planning next year. So feedback is not only welcome, but it's really important to making sure that the conference meets your needs going forward. If you have any questions or need any assistance, please stop by the registration desk, which you all walked past to get to this room, or see anybody wearing a staff ribbon. So for this session, we have a presentation by Bob Ralia. Bob Ralia is a principal programmer working in crypto security at Red Hat. Bob has worked on the Network Security System Library since 1994, first at Netscape, then iPlanet, then AOL, and finally at Red Hat. Interesting you put finally in there, Bob. Bob primarily works on algorithms, hardware crypto support, and FIPS. Bob is also the co-chair of the OASIS PKCS11 Technical Committee, and he's worked on PKCS11 and PKCS11 integration into NSS since 1995. Please welcome Bob.
Thank you. And
Alt tab, it's sitting there.
Alt.
It's the PDF.
Okay. Where's the... Where's the...
Under view.
There we go.
Keep going down, Bob. There it is.
There we go. Sorry, I don't use Windows that much. So. Okay, so what I'm going to talk about, I'm going to skip the first slide because Tim just presented it to you. I'm going to talk about how we deal with standards compliance in NSS and FIPS. And then I'm going to talk about some of the differences between TLS 1.3 and 1.2. We'll finish up, and then we'll talk about the core, the actual challenges we had in implementing TLS 1.3 in NSS. And then I'll finish up with the state of that implementation and the state of the standards that it depends on. So, the way NSS deals with FIPS is we encapsulate all of our FIPS validated stuff in under the PKCS11 boundary. So we have a soft token built into our system. Inside that soft token is everything that we FIPS validate, all the algorithms and stuff. This presents some difficulty for some of our algorithms like ASGCM, because the current PK7 2.0 interface does not allow us to pass additional information on each call. So we have problems with doing the IV return that FIPS requires. This has been fixed in PKCS11 3.0, which I'll talk about the schedule for that later. Inside our module, NSS has been validated in the past at level 2, and so the structure for doing it at level 2 is still there. And as a result, all our keys are locked into the token. That is, there's no API way of getting keys outside of NSS in a non-wrapped case. Of course, there's ways you can work around this by encrypting and then decrypting outside of the token. But creating that hard boundary means that applications that try to do not so good things like pulling out the key material and doing things you don't want them to do with the key material, when we turn in FIPS mode, those applications just stop working. And we've actually ran into a couple cases at Red Hat where we had applications using NSS and they were pulling the key material out and stuffing it in the disk. And then they went into FIPS mode and they complained, "Hey, we don't work in FIPS mode." And they says, this function doesn't work. And I says, "Yes, that function's not supposed to work in FIPS mode." And then my next question is always, what are you doing with that key material? Because usually there's a way of dealing with that key material in a compliant way without pulling out of the token. And in their case, it was, well, we needed to pull this material out and stick it in an LDAP server, in which case we were like, you're storing raw key material in an LDAP server. And so we were able to identify an issue with that actual application. Because our keys are locked into the token, it means that our SSL implementation doesn't actually have access to any of its keys. It gets handles that it can pass as around, but it isn't actually able to pull out the bits. That means all the stuff that deals with the keys and transforms the keys are done within NSS. So all the macking, all the KDF, all that is done within our token, within the FIPS boundary of the token, and not actually in our SSL implementation. Red Hat uses a number of other crypto libraries, and we FIPS validate those, and those don't actually lock the keys into place, but they actually do another important thing, and that is they lock the algorithms you can use. So when you go into FIPS mode and you try to use RC4 or ChaCha or one of the other algorithms that are not FIPS validated, it will actually return an error and you're not able to do that. For historical reasons, NSS had to actually allow those non-compliant algorithms because we've been validated back to the point where we were running with SSL, the original version of SSL 3 using SHA-1 and MD5 macking. And you needed to do both in order to beat the protocol. But because we were doing both of them, we were able to say, okay, we only depend on the SHA-1, but we did have to allow both of them to happen. So that's why NSS doesn't lock the algorithms. One of the future enhancements could really be locking down those. And then you have a pretty clear idea that that the module that you've FIPS validated is less likely to have issues, to have applications who aren't validated have issues with that module because things that they do that are bad are actually disallowed by the module itself. Okay, so we have a TLS 1.2 implementation, and we went off to go do TLS 1.3. So what are the differences? Well, the most striking difference between 1.2 and 1.3 is the flow of the handshake messages, which means your engine and state machine are actually quite different. This change actually was sort of the last straw that broke the camel back as far as some of the legacy support that we had within NSS. So you are no longer able to do SSL2 in NSS, no matter how, if the code's actually been ripped out. We've had a number of releases where the code was turned off just to make sure people weren't using it. But we've now actually ripped out the SSL2 support. And we're in the process of ripping out the SSL3 support. We can't do that right away because Red Hat has protocol has assurances for our customers that we won't remove, we won't break things on them without a good reason. And so we're in our process of telling them we're going to break this SSL3 thing on you. But we haven't completed that particular process. So we've turned it off, but we haven't removed the actual code. The other difference is TLS 1.3 uses a different KDF. So in TLS 1.2, we went from a TLS-specific Mac to a industry well-known standardized Mac called HMAC. TLS 1.3 is doing the same thing. They're going to HKDF. And NSS already has HKDF support in their PKCS 11 module, but it's with a vendor-specific mechanism. It's not an approved mechanism within PKCS 11. So basically, in TLS, everything important but the record format has changed. So this is what presents some challenges, and this is the part of the slide I'm going to that you care about, but I'm also going to hand wave about because I didn't do these implementations. Most of the implementation for TLS 1.3 is done by these two people. If you're familiar with TLS at all, you know who Eric Riscola and Martin Thompson are. So Eric gave me this list that I'm going to talk through. So the first thing is the state machine basically had to be rewritten. They tried to make, you know, incremental changes like we've done in the past where, okay, well, we go through here, and if it's TLS 1.3, we'll do this other thing. And that became a complete nightmare. So the TLS 1.3 implementation is its own file completely. And then it calls back as it needs to back into the standard SSL3 con, which is where all our other implementation lives, when it wants to do TLS 1.1 or 1.2. The existing KDF function, which is private NSS PKCS 11 mechanism, the API for that looks like you would expect a KDF, so you want to pass a salt in. You pass the salt in as a bunch of bytes. Unfortunately, TLS 1.3, when it goes to use the KDF, actually uses the key in the salt field, which causes problems with that interface. So this, of course, was a challenge trying to work around with within our code. And our current code actually would not work with FIPS because they're pulling the key material out in order to stuff it into the salt. I'll talk about what we're going to do about that in my last slide. Rollout issues. This isn't specific to TLS. It's just 1.3. It's more specific to how you roll out a draft version of the protocol that you're not going to support in the future, and you don't want people to pick it up by accident. So a lot of applications are doing the right thing. They're going in and saying, turn on the highest version of TLS that you support. Well, when we rolled out TLS 1.3, it meant they were turning on this draft version of 1.3 when they didn't want to really do that. The same issue with cipher suites. We allow the application to query all the ciphers that you know about, and they just turn them all on. And so when new cipher suites were added in the TLS 1.3, those were also getting turned on. Okay, looks like I'm moving through pretty quickly. So when will we see all this? The implementation is pretty much complete. I saw Eric check in code in into March after he sent off the draft 28. So draft 28 is actually in the current NSS upstream code. Of course, no one has released it or picked it up yet. TLS spec, draft 28, was posted on March. There's every reason to believe that that's the final draft. Once the IETF dots all their I's and crosses all their T's, there's very marginal difference between 28 and 26, so I think everybody is at least on 26, or everybody who's keeping up with this is at least 26. So I would expect all your implementations to actually be able to go live as quick as their release process works after the IETF releases their code. The current PKS 11 spec is sufficient other than the KDF. The 1.3 spec, which has a supported GCM support, should go live by the end of the year. So the state of PKS 11.3 is all of the all the stuff that's going to go into it has been through our first process and approved. We are still collecting that together into a final document, which the working group would then review, and then it has to work its way through the review process. Unfortunately, HKDF is not one of those things that got into that cut, and which I noticed when I put this slide together. If I'd done this, we had this conference two months ago. HKDF probably would have made it into TLS 3.0, but since it hasn't, and because we've promised our editor that we're not going to drop any more things on him, I'm going to work on a draft for that, and we will we'll try to get that through once the 3.0 document is on its way through the OASIS process. We approve that for the next draft, but that will give implementers a number that they can use. And because we now have this experience, I know I have to be able to set that interface so that you can actually do HKDF and replace the salt function with a key pointer instead of just the normal salt. So that's all I have. Are there any questions? I think I've left plenty of time for questions.
Plenty of time there. We've basically got 10 minutes remaining.
Okay.
So not a problem. Hopefully the audience has got a pile of questions. They need to be difficult questions for Bob.
Now remember, I didn't implement the TLS 1.3 yet.
Could you talk a bit about the relationship between Mozilla Red Hat and the ownership of NSS, for lack of a better word?
Okay, so NSS is an open source project, and it's developed using Mozilla tools in the Mozilla branch, and Mozilla is the primary user with a lot of developers on it. It's used very heavily within NSS, including within our servers, so NSS has a fair number of developers on it. As an open source project, the decisions are made like any other open source project, as the people who develop it work on it. When we put patches in, we'll review Mozilla's patches, they'll review our patches. So So it's sort of a joint operation. If someone else wanted to join that, they would be, as long as you're contributing, you get this, an equal say. So for a long time, Oracle was one of those, well, Sun, and then Oracle was one of those companies that contributed heavily to NSS and had a say on the direction of where things would go. As their contributions dropped, the level of say dropped in there. So this is an open source project. In practice, Red Hat and Mozilla are the two major voices that drive where NSS goes. And I got 10 minutes. Any other questions?
Yeah. Could you come to the mic, please? Things are being recorded, so we'd like to get the questions nice and clear. And if we can stack them for Bob, that would be fantastic.
From a FIPS point of view, are you looking at ACVP framework for testing your PKCS FIPS elements, and or do you have a current CAVS framework that is also part of the NSS code base? I don't actually know.
Okay, yeah. So a yes to both questions. I have, I've used the Cisco client, and in fact, at the ITF last year, I demoed our ACVP client that used PKCS 11. I'm about 2 months behind where Cisco is. So about 2 months ago, I caught up with them. So if you want to, if you have a PKCS 11 module, you want to try ACVP. Go to the Cisco Git repository, pull the Red Hat v3.0 branch, and you can go ahead and play with it. I wrote it in the way that as much as possible is module independent. There's a few things that you can't do through the PKCS 11 interface that you can either compile out or just turn off. It'll detect whether you're using a soft token or not, and not actually try to, for it won't do the DRBG test because we don't do that through PKCS 11. But as much as possible, I use the PKCS 11 interfaces to be able to do that other stuff. And we also have a very extensive CAVS interface that works with all of our things that our QA people have done, where the lab just sends us the CAVS, and our QA people run the CAVS on all of our products, and we no longer have to use engineering resources to go through CAVS. And it's a, you know, when we do CAVS testing now, it's okay, we're going to do CAVS testing. Here's the vectors. There's the output, and it's all automated in the back end. Unfortunately, that's going to disappear, as we've heard in this conference, in the next year. So I need to give those guys a heads up that everybody needs to be on ACVP.
You mentioned about challenges working with TLS 1.3 with a FIPS mode. Do you have a timeline when it's going to be available, even a vague one?
Right now, the big question mark is, when are we going to get, in the PKCS 11 spec, when are we going to get everything collected together? And we don't have a timeline, but certainly by the end of the year, I would expect the 3.0 spec to be done. So in the next couple months or so, I would expect that we will have, if we don't have the 3.0 spec collected together as a thing in the next couple months, we will be doing some changes in the working group to make that happen. Right, Tony?
Absolutely.
Okay, so Tony's my co-chair on that. Once that's done, I can propose a draft, and then the working group will have to hash out whatever my draft is, because we have the SALT thing, it will be a little, it won't be like the straightforward, but once that's through, I can we can allocate a number and approve it, and at that point, even though it's not part of a PKCS 11 spec, our working group sort of made the commitment, once we approve an algorithm, that we will move that algorithm through, barring any other issues, to we'll move that algorithm through to to the final spec. So you can start implementing based on that that draft. And so at that point, you'll be able to have PKCS 11 modules that are FIPS validated.
Sorry, I came a little bit late. I have a question. Do you have a timeline as to when TLS 1.3 will be supported in Enterprise Linux?
I don't think I have a timeline in my mind when that would happen, but that's a product marketing position, and we're not allowed to talk about that. We're not allowed to commit the company to a timeline. So I can say that we will be tracking what's going on, and it will get rolled in as it gets released. But
are we talking like 6 months, a year, 2 years? Can't even say.
We're not allowed to give a date.
Certainly not.
Certainly. Certainly within 10 years.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, if I had a customer that was interested in the FIPS module for NSS, but not on a Red Hat system for some particular reason, what are your thoughts about that? How do I respond to them?
Right now, I think Red Hat's the only one who's actually validating NSS. In the past, we've had joint validations with Mozilla and Sun. Much of the work for those joint validations are still online, and so you can get a jump on at least the vendor part of doing that validation. A big chunk of validation is, you know, getting the right stuff in the code. The other big chunk is knowing how to translate what's in the code into the requirements. I don't think we publish anything from our ATSEC stuff. In fact, I don't think we even get all the ATSEC stuff. If you go to ATSEC, you could probably get a module through pretty quickly because they know the internal. But
I suppose it's not like the most parts are upstream. The test driver or your new ACVP driver is open source.
All the software we use is open source. The CAVS drivers in the tree, the module testing driver that we use, that the lab uses, is in the tree, and a complete module testing prototype using AMVP, which I'm working on with NIST, is in a GitHub tree that I can give you the link for off of my GitHub. The pieces that you need are all up there available. What's not up there is the actual reports that the lab generates.
Sure. Thank you. So.
I think that was the last question.
Yeah, absolutely. So I hope you can join me in thanking Bob for his presentation. Any further questions, just take off now and answer.
Better?
No. What?
Legion of the
Hopefully everybody's here.
Oh, here.
One for me.